Thank you, Bill. So Bill wanted to make sure I finished on time tonight, so he gave me a couple extra minutes. So take away my excuses. So good to see you tonight. Appreciate the opportunity to be here with you to look into the Word of God together. Start out with a football on the screen there, just to make you say, man, why is he rubbing it in? So I know, you know, some folks here tonight, they're thinking, I am so glad we can go to the meeting tonight and get away from this talk about football. And other people checking your phone right now to see what the score is. I know what you're doing. And then there's some folks raising your hand. That's not me. My wife's checking for me. No, and some of you in between. So anyway, I was thinking about what we would talk about tonight, and we've been looking at the book of Proverbs for a while on Sunday nights when I've spoken, and so I was thinking about continuing in that vein, and as I did a little bit of looking and praying, it came out that we are going to be in Proverbs tonight, and but as we work our way to Proverbs, we will be reminded that it's Super Bowl Sunday, and at this very moment, in Houston, Texas, the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons are battling it out. As I cut on the radio on the way over here, it was 0-0. So you hadn't missed anything, so don't worry about it. No points have been scored yet as these two quarterback MVP candidate quarterbacks go at it. They're in Super Bowl 51 down in Houston. Well, tonight we're going to be looking at a competition, and it's going to be between laziness and diligence, between laziness and diligence. And we're going to start out in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 24. And as we've been looking at Proverbs, of course, once we get past the first 10 chapters, we find that most of the Proverbs are found in somewhat isolated context, a proverb here and then another one put in by the Holy Spirit purposefully, but not so much thematically. So we'll be looking at this thought of laziness and diligence tonight, starting with Proverbs 19 and verse 24. And so we'll read that. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Now, if you have the King James, I think it says in his bosom, the word literally is bowl or dish there. Some commentators feel that that is somewhat figurative and that he's putting his hand into his bosom, possibly to keep it warm. But literally, it's bowl. So tonight, as we think about that verse, a lazy man burying his hand in the bowl and he won't even so much as bring it to his mouth again, we're going to be looking at the Supper Bowl, okay? So it's not going to be the Super Bowl, but it's going to be the Supper Bowl. Here's the lazy man, and he got his hand down in his Supper Bowl, and he's so lazy he can't even bring it back up to his mouth again. So we're going to think about the Supper Bowl and think about digging in to those snacks that you'll get maybe later tonight if you hadn't already have it. But this guy here is a good example of the lazy man, all right? He's so lazy, he doesn't even put his hand in the bowl. He gets his wife to set his cheese curls or Cheetos or whatever those things are on his chest, and so he can just lick them off with his mouth. So there's a good example of laziness, all right? Or a bad example, however you want to say that. It's an example of laziness. But on the flip side of laziness, as we look into the book of Proverbs, which we know from our former studies, is wisdom for everyday life. That's what God is using Solomon and other writers of Proverbs to bring before our mind, this idea of laziness and diligence being one of the themes. Diligence, a job well done, you might say. As we think about the words, here we find in verse 24 the word lazy. In the New King James, it may also be seen as slothful, possibly in your translation. But the words slothful and sluggard, sluggish, slack, all of those words would bring to our mind this idea of laziness. And so tonight, we're going to be thinking about in our own lives Would we check diligent or lazy? Now, it could be that in some areas of my life, I might check diligent. Other areas of my life, in all honesty, would I need to check lazy? The one that we're most concerned about is our spiritual life. The physical life, very important, and laziness in the physical life is a very poor testimony to the self-control that we should be experiencing as part of the fruit of the Spirit. But laziness in the spiritual life is even more serious. So we'll be thinking about that tonight and seeking to apply it in our own lives. Now, we mentioned the word slothful. This is actually a video. Can you see it playing right now? Okay, this. Just watch closely, and you'll see the sloth there doing his thing. All right, he's being slothful. I mean, it's only fair. That's his name, right? So he's just fitting in with what his name is. But that's where we get the word slothful, or maybe that's where he got his name. I'm not sure, but I could have put a picture of a slug up there too, I guess, because sluggard and sluggish is another one of those words that we think about when we think about the word lazy and as we look in the book of Proverbs. The other word is diligent, and that word diligent is interesting. It really has as its root the thought of being sharp. It's the idea of something pointed. And so when we're diligent, we're focused in, we're seeking to do that job in a manner that would honor the Lord Jesus, a job well done. We want to be diligent in our lives. And if we're not sure what diligent is, we need to know that it's the opposite of lazy. Sharp. How many of you remember Foghorn Leghorn? You remember Foghorn Leghorn? Yeah, he's a pretty famous cartoon character, and he had a lot of really good quotes, but the one I remember is he talked about the little chicken, and he said, that boy's about as sharp as a bowling ball. You remember that? That boy's about as sharp as a bowling ball, all right? All right, well, when we're diligent, we're much sharper than a bowling ball, okay? Because a bowling ball obviously isn't sharp, and that's why Foghorn Leghorn used that particular term to speak of his nephew, I think that was. So here's a little picture that is really pretty fitting based on what we find in Proverbs and what we find in real life. You see the guy there in the bed sleeping. Hard work pays off in the future. Laziness pays off now. Okay? And we're going to find a lot about being in the bed. All right? Now, this isn't a message against sleeping or taking a nap. But the idea here is that the laziness feels good, and it feels good right now. But in the long run, of course, we know whether it's physical or spiritual, it's not going to pay off. Now, as we think about the Supper Bowl, and we've got the one team named Diligence and the other team named Laziness, I just want to mention that it's an unlevel playing field, okay? Now, in actuality, this is a soccer field, but, you know, just imagine instead of soccer nets on the end, they're goalposts, all right, and they're the markers there, the lines, each yard line and every 10 yards and 5 yards, and instead of marked off like a soccer field. But when it comes to everyday life, physically and spiritually, we find that the lazy team is on the top up here. And the diligent team, they start out down at the bottom. In other words, if you just let nature take its course, you'll be lazy, all right? And you might say, well, hey, I'm a naturally diligent person. Well, that's probably true to some degree, and a lot of that would be based on the way probably that you've been brought up and that you trained yourself. But in general, in our lives, it's a lot easier to be lazy than it is to be diligent. I won't ask for a show of hands for people who agree with me on that statement. But in general, that's very true. So when we go into this football game and we watch diligence play against laziness in the Supper Bowl, then we find that laziness has the upper hand from the get-go because that's our natural pattern. It's natural to be lazy. It's natural to neglect the things that are important in our lives, it's natural to in the flesh, not read the Bible and not to pray and not to witness and not to speak for the Lord Jesus and not to resist temptation. In the flesh, in our nature, in our old man, that's the easy thing to do. Just to relax and let nature take its course and be lazy in these areas of life. So I want to start out being aware of that. The playing field is not level. It's not level. But diligence still can win. And diligence still should win. And the question is, who's winning in your life? Who's winning in my life? And who will win? Now, if you don't know anything about football, we're going to be looking at a lot of football illustrations tonight, and I don't act like I'm going to teach you all about football at the time, but you've got an offense and a defense, all right? The offense has the ball. They're pictured in red here. You can see kind of how they're lined up, but they have all different formations that they use. The blue X's here represent the defense. There are 11 men on each team, and they can line up, well, not any way they want to. There are certain rules about the offense and how many can be on the line and how many have to be behind the line of scrimmage, that little yellow line right there. But the defense can line up any way they want to in order to stop the team with the ball, the offense, the red O's, from getting into the end zone and scoring a touchdown and getting 6 points. Or kicking a field goal even. So you got the offense against the defense. You got two teams, one against the other. And I know most of you already know that, and you know a whole lot more. This is actually a picture, interestingly enough, not of tonight, but this is a picture of the Patriots playing the Falcons. At this point, the Falcons were leading 3-0, so I don't know if that's a prophecy. Somebody may know. Anybody got the score? Just kidding. So you can see how they're lined up here. There's 11 on each team. We have the blue X's. Of course, they're on offense here, and they moved it around on us. And the red O's are the Falcons on this game, and they're on defense, so they messed us up. But they're trying to get, well, I'm not going to go through all that, but that's just a picture to give you a little idea. So we're going to be looking at a number of verses, and we're gonna start out with the pregame, and then we're going to go into game time, and then we're going to go to a little bit of post-game, and we're going to be looking at a number of different passages and just drawing out some basic principles for our lives and seeking to make some application to the way that we live. So let's go to chapter 6, first of all. We're going to be jumping around here in order so that it'll fit in to the way that we're going to take it. So we're going to start out with the pregame preparation. Here on the picture, we have the two coaches that are facing off tonight, Bill Belichick, for the New England Patriots, long-time successful coach Dan Quinn, fairly recent coach for the Atlanta Falcons, coaching in his first Super Bowl as a head coach, as far as I know. Anyway, pregame preparation. Look at chapter 6, beginning with verse 6. And here we have a challenge to the sluggard. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. When it comes to football and the Super Bowl or the Supper Bowl, there needs to be pregame preparation, and there doesn't—it's not required. There's nothing in the rule book that says the referee will penalize you 15 yards if you don't prepare ahead of time for the game. You can sleep for 2 weeks after your last game if you want to, and never get out of the bed. Now, the team wouldn't let you do that, but the rules would allow you to do that. And then just get up, rub your eyes 5 minutes before game time, and run out on the field. But that wouldn't be too wise, would it? No, the ant wouldn't do that. The ant knows that hard times are coming. The ant knows that winter's going to be here. The ant knows that when winter gets here, that's not the time to be out trying to find food. Not at all. No, you do that ahead of time. You do that in the pregame. And that's what Bill Belichick and Dan Quinn and their staffs and all their players, that's what they've been doing for the last 2 weeks, and really for the last year. Ever since the last Super Bowl was over, these two men, their goal was to get their teams into the Super Bowl this year, and that's where they are. And it didn't come without a lot of preparation, a lot of pre-planning. You know, I thought as I was reading this just now, they would probably agree with this part about a little sleep, a little slumber, because that's probably what they've gotten in the last 2 weeks. Probably just a little bit of sleep. That's probably what they've gotten in the last 6 months. Staying up a lot, late at night, watching game film, looking at their players and what the situation, the injury situation, and what plays are going to work against the opposition in the biggest stage in football. This one game that you're missing right now, listening to this. Praise the Lord, you're making a good choice. The pregame preparation, so important. So important to these men and to their players. And so it is, of course, to us. So it is, of course, to us. And we know that in reality, as those who are seeking to be diligent as believers, we know that really so much of our lives are about pre-planning, right? Not the pre-planning for our funeral, though there's a lot of wisdom in that, but rather the pre-planning for after this life. And what we're doing here in this life is not being lazy and laying around and just enjoying all the blessings even that we have given from God, but rather is seeking to be diligent in serving Him and finishing the work that He's given us to do, because we're planning for eternity. That's what's on our minds. And we're planning really for every day of our lives. I hope that you're praying about tomorrow. And that you're planning for tomorrow, not only what you'll eat and what time you'll get up and what you'll wear and what you'll do at work or at home or wherever you are, but hopefully you're planning, you're preparing for what's coming spiritually in your life. You're preparing because, you know, the winter's coming, isn't it? And not a 60-degree, 70-degree day winter, but the real winter's coming. The winter of persecution. It's getting colder and colder. The winter of temptation is always against us, it seems. The winter of heartache. And we've got to be prepared. We've got to be in the Word of God. As these guys are in their playbook, so we need to be in the Word of God. And these coaches, they're also giving attention to the condition of their teams. Look over at chapter 27. Chapter 27 and the 23rd verse gives us a challenge about diligence here. Diligence, 27:23, doesn't say anything about laziness in this verse, but we have the challenge toward diligence. And one thing you're going to notice, we're going to be going back and forth, backing forth, laziness to diligence, but you know, that's what they do in football. One team has the ball, then the other team has the ball, then the other team has... It goes back and forth, and that's what we're doing tonight. So here we go, 27:23. Here's the challenge. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds, for riches are not forever. Know the condition. Pay attention to how your flocks are doing. And these men, in some ways, you might say they're like shepherds. And they have other shepherds working with them, assistant coaches, and they're watching. You see this coach, he's looking at his team, he's watching them. What's their condition? Not only physically, but what about mentally? So much of a sports activity is mental, physical for sure, but also the mind is so important when you play a game. And they're wondering, are these guys, are they focused on the game? Are they preparing properly? Do they have the right attitude, that right mixture of keeping themselves under control at the same time being passionate about what they're getting ready to do? Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. There's an obvious application to those who are in any type of leadership in any setting, and we're thinking particularly spiritually, so we think about those of us who are husbands, those of us who are parents, those of us who are grandparents, those of us who work with children, who work with other people, who have responsibilities, where people are under us in a work situation or a ministry context. We need to be careful to know how they're doing, not only how we're doing. Not only to prepare ourselves, but also to be a part of preparing them. That's a part of diligence. It's easy to just bypass that and to be lazy, but that's not wise pregame planning. And then one other verse for the pregame is Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 11. So we've got to work. We've got to work not only during the game, but before the game. And we see that here in Proverbs 12, 11, where we read, "He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity or emptiness or vanity is devoid of understanding." You see, there are those who have been in the gym and working out and lifting weights and exercising and running and going through the playbook and getting onto the field and working out with their position coaches, and they've been doing that diligently. Now, that leads to satisfaction in knowing that you did your best in playing the game and hopefully winning. Now, you could just lay down on the job and go to sleep. Take a nap on the ball. Let the ball be your pillow and just take a good old nap. Rest a little bit. Well, we do need rest, but we find all through this thought of laziness, the idea of oversleeping, of staying in the bed, getting too much rest, and we find that in the pregame, if we're going to be prepared, then we've got to be willing to work. We've got to be willing to invest ourselves, that we might be satisfied with bread. We need to invest ourselves in the Word of God, that we can be satisfied with the bread that we find here, the food that comes from the Scripture. It's there, but you know what? It's special to us, isn't it? When we go in there and we work the soil, and the Spirit of God is making it grow. He's bringing forth the fruit for us to enjoy, to participate in taking in the very bread of heaven, seeing the Lord Jesus in the Scriptures, and being nourished by the Word of God, the milk of the Word, and the meat of the Word as we mature, that we might go out and that we might bear fruit as well. And then the game time comes. Go over to Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5, game time. And first of all, we're going to think about implementing the game plan. You see, part of that pre-planning that the coaches and staffs do involve coming up with a plan. In other words, they don't, and we're going to mention this a little bit later, but they don't just wait till they get there and say, "What do you think will work today? What do you think a good play?" Like we do in the backyard, you know, we're on the beach and you come up and you say, you draw on your hand, okay, you're here, and you run down there and go off by the sand dune and you go down toward the water and you go up here and cut across at the first seashell. No, they don't do that. They've got a game plan all worked out and they know, here's what we believe will work against this team. Now, the game plan may shift depending on what's going on. But a lot of times, they'll stick with their game plan. They believe it's going to work. But the thing when it comes to game time, you've got to implement that game plan. 21 and verse 5. I put 15 up there. I'm sorry. I apologize. I looked down here and I thought, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Look up at verse 5. I actually had 5 there and I changed it. I had the 1 in. I'm not sure why I did that. Here we go. 21 verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. It may say the thoughts of the diligent in your translation. The real emphasis is what we have here in the New King James, the plans, not just what you're thinking, but the thinking ahead, the making plans. So now it's time to put the game plan into practice rather than being hasty. Rather than just saying, "Let's throw something together at the last minute, run down there toward the goalpost and I'll throw it to you." No, there's a plan that's been designed, and we have God's game plan, if we want to call it that, in the Scriptures. And as we know that, it's one thing to know it, but you know good and well that it's something else to walk out tomorrow morning and go to work or go to the store or start helping with your children and implement that game plan. It's a different thing, isn't it, when you get out there on the field And of course, these men know that as well. We've got to implement the game plan, because it's the plans of the diligent that lead to plenty. But if you don't have a plan, or if you just go out there and try to do it in your own strength, on your own wisdom at the last minute, you're going to come to poverty. Of course, the Holy Spirit can be directing you. Okay, well, let's move on, because here in game time, there's the passing game. If you don't know anything about football, there's two ways you can get the ball down the field. One is to throw the ball from behind the line of scrimmage where the teams line up. You can throw the ball from behind that line, over that line, to certain players who are eligible to catch a pass. That's one way to move the ball down the field. And that's a way that both of these teams are very good at doing that. They also have a good running game. We'll look at that in a minute. Look at chapter 24. Chapter 24. A very important part of the passing game is not just the quarterback who's going to pass the ball, not just the receiver or the running back who's going to receive and hopefully catch the ball, but the men who are there in the trenches on the front line that are blocking. Because you see, that defensive team, those red X's, they want to get in there and they want to tackle that quarterback so he can't pass the ball and complete the pass and gain yardage to get them closer to that touchdown or that field goal, closer to that end zone. So there's got to be that protection. There's got to be that pass protection of those men up front blocking the defensive players who were trying to get to the quarterback. So look at chapter 20, and this would go along with the running game too, but here a passing game, 24 verse 30. And the wise writer says, I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding, and there it was, all overgrown with thorns, its surface was covered with nettles, its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Very similar to Proverbs chapter 6 that we read about going to the ant. But here, the lazy man had allowed his field, the garden, to be overgrown, and he allowed the wall, which was there, to keep out animals that would come in to eat up his crops, would keep people out who would come in to do damage to his crops. The walls were there to protect, and he let them fall down. Much like we see in this picture, poor Eli Manning, number 10 there, the quarterback for the New York Giants. You see that the pass protection has broken down. You see the guys who were supposed to be blocking, where are they? They're on the other side of the defensive players. They let the defensive players get in, and you see what they're doing to poor Eli. I had another picture of him with his helmet coming off. You know, and if we're not careful, if we get lazy spiritually and don't do due diligence for the walls that God has wisely put up around us for our own protection in the Scriptures, if we don't employ that part of the game plan in our lives, we're just allowing the enemy to come in. We're allowing laziness to come in and infiltrate our lives when we allow that protection to break down. Also in the passing game, here's a diagram. You see the yellow lines with the arrow on the end. They're making, that's some of the receivers who are running out to try to catch the pass. Notice Curse there. He's going way down the field toward the 20-yard line mark, and he's going for a long pass so that the quarterback can hopefully throw that pass to him. A couple things about the passing game. Look over at Proverbs 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. When they draft or trade for a receiver in professional football, there are different things about that receiver that help him to get away from the defensive players. That's part of it. And then maybe to use his body to get between him and the defensive player. But one thing that's really important is to have great hands. You see this guy here, Randall Cobb with the Green Bay Packers, making a great one-handed catch. You say, well, he's got great hand.
not great hands. Well, he's got great hands. He's able to catch the ball because you can get away. You can be standing by yourself in the end zone. Nobody near you because you faked them all out. Quarterback throws the ball to you, and if you can't catch it, it doesn't matter how open you are. It doesn't matter how good you were at avoiding the defender. If you can't catch the ball, you've got to have great hands. Hands are important. Look at chapter 10 and verse 4. Read about the hands here. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. You see, we have a lazy hand and a diligent hand. A slack-handed person, our hands, of course, represent our deeds, what we do. And here's someone who doesn't do what God has called them to do. Not in the Word of God, not in prayer, not encouraging other brothers and sisters, not being involved in their lives that they can be encouraged because they've gotten lazy spiritually. But then we see the one with the diligent hands. Those great hands that are like Randall Cobb in football. And for the diligent team catching that ball, there are those diligent hands. And that makes abundant, spiritually rich, enjoying the riches that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. While you're here in chapter 10, look down at verse 26. Verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. Here's the football illustration. They're lined up like you saw in that picture, and they've called a play. The offensive coordinator has called a play, and the quarterback has told them in the huddle, or if they're doing a hurry-up offense, they already know what's next. And they send the receiver down the field. Remember Curse and how he was going to run down the field? They sent him out to catch the ball. Look at this guy. I don't know if you can see it right there. You see where the ball is? Right there. See where his hands are? The ball has gone through his hands. He's dropped the ball. He missed the pass. He was ahead of the defenders. He had it, but you know what? Those who sent him out for the pass, they just got burned. You know, in essence, he was like vinegar on their teeth or smoke in their eyes because he disappointed them. He burned them by dropping that pass. And here we find that the lazy person, to those who send him, is like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. And you know what? Every one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we are sent ones, aren't we? We've been sent. The Lord Jesus said, go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, that pass is he sent me out for the pass. Am I going to drop it? If I'm lazy, I am definitely going to drop it. I probably won't even be near the ball when it gets there because, you see, the quarterback throws the ball to where the receiver's supposed to be. Where he's supposed to be. You know, are we there? Are we catching the ball? That's the passing game. Okay, we've got to hurry on. The running game, which should really be the running game. Okay, that's not the running. You think, well, that's some new term they got in football. The running game. No, this is the running game when spell check doesn't work, I guess, on PowerPoint. All right, go to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 19. This is an interesting a verse here about what's ahead for those who are lazy and what's ahead for those who are diligent. The other way to move the ball down the field is to run with the ball. The quarterback can get the ball and run up the field, or he usually hands it off to one of the running backs, and that running back is supposed to run and get toward the goal line, miss the people or go around them, somehow get through them to gain yardage. Well, look what we find here in chapter 15 and verse 19. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. Here's the football illustration of that. You see this guy? He just ran into a hedge of thorns. He just ran into a brick wall is what he ran into. He just ran into several members of the Baltimore Ravens football team, and he's hit a brick wall. He's been stopped. But we're going to read the rest of the verse. But the way of the upright is a highway. The way of the upright is a highway. And you see, this guy, he's running open field. open field. He's outrun everyone, and there's nobody there to tackle him like we find these Baltimore Ravens doing. You see, the lazy man, he runs into a hedge of thorns because of his laziness. Where the diligent man, it's not that he doesn't have difficulties. We've already seen that wintertime is coming. It's not that he doesn't have problems, but it's that he's diligent to work in his life and to work the garden of his life and to allow God to work in the garden of his life and to allow fellow believers to work into the garden of his life so that he's got that highway, that clear path to be moving toward God, moving toward obedience, moving toward Christ's likeness by the Spirit of God. We're walking spiritually. We're in a race spiritually. We're running. And as we run, we're going to run into some problems. But you know what? I don't want to run into a hedge of thorns that are there because of my laziness. Now, I'm going to run into some things that I can't avoid and that are going to come there. And some of those things, God is going to purposely put them in my path that I've got to work my way through them. And I've got to prove my diligence isn't just when the field is wide open. But I don't want there to be anything in my life that hinders me because of my own laziness that I don't deal with it. And I don't acknowledge it. And I don't take the Word of God and apply it into my life. Well, let's move ahead. Not only is it important to have a good offense, you need a good defense. You need to stop the other team from getting into the end zone. Look over at Proverbs chapter 19. We're going to look at a couple of verses here. And we're going to see that we don't want to be caught napping like the defense here on this team. They got caught napping. They didn't see this guy. He slipped around the outside and caught the pass. And they were napping. We said there's going to be a lot about sleep here. Look at chapter 19 and verse 15. 19:15, laziness cast one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Over in chapter 20, the very next chapter, look at verse 13, a similar verse. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with bread. Again, he's not saying that you shouldn't sleep. We need to sleep. God has made us so that we need to rest. The Lord Jesus slept when he was upon the earth. But sleep shouldn't characterize my life. The sleep of laziness shouldn't characterize my life. And I don't want to be caught napping. I don't want to be caught napping and let things get into my life or things get away from me that should have been embraced by me or stopped by me, but I was caught napping. I was a lazy man, and I allowed these things into my life. And of course, there are also always consequences with that. As Paul says to the Ephesians, wake up, O sleeper. Wake up. Wake up, he says, from our spiritual laziness, our spiritual lethargy. Don't be caught napping spiritually. It's too important. Too important. The game only lasts so long. There's 60 minutes of actual playing time on the football field. And I don't know how many years you or I will have. Those games, they last longer because of timeouts and halftime. And we don't know exactly how long our lives are going to last. But I don't want to be caught napping. Well, let me look at one thing here, Proverbs chapter 12, both sides of the ball, offense and defense. And we just kind of referred to this in a way, missed opportunities. Offense and defense. Look at chapter 12, verse 27. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. The lazy man, he has game that he's killed, but he only goes halfway and he misses the opportunity to cook the animal and enjoy the meat. That's the reason that he killed the animal. It wasn't for sport. He killed the animal to eat, but he missed the opportunity. But look at what we read there about the contrasting person, the diligent man. But diligence is man's precious possession. He values The diligent person values every opportunity. He's not like these who missed opportunities. The wide receiver who says, look, I'm wide open. And the quarterback missed the opportunity to throw it to him. The receiver who missed the opportunity to catch the pass at the end zone wide open and he dropped it. The defensive player who had the opportunity to intercept the pass from the quarterback. In fact, it hit him right in the hands and bounced off his chest. He missed the opportunity. We don't want to miss the opportunities. We want to buy up every opportunity. We want to redeem the time because the days are evil. You know, in the game, the Super Bowl, any football game, any athletic contest, there's what are often called the intangibles. They're not things you can necessarily put your hands on. They're not things that you can necessarily control as a coach. Let's just consider a couple of these intangibles. Look at chapter 20. We're going to have to really get the crank in here. Chapter 20 in verse 4, excuses. Excuses. What was the lazy man? Chapter 20, verse 4. The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. If the player says, coach, it's too cold to play today. My mama didn't send my mittens with me. I can't go out there. It's too cold. Some of these crazy guys, you see them out there in a snowstorm and they don't even have long sleeves on. Now here's some guys playing in the snow. It's not too cold. No excuses. Get out there and do the work, no matter where the hardship is there or even the fear is there. Here's another one. Look at chapter 22 and verse 13. The lazy man says, there's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. You never know. There could have been a lion. He wandered in from, the forest, and he could have gotten in the streets. I don't know. You see him pointing here. This is Cam Newton when he was in college, and this isn't really what they're doing, but I'm going to use it like this is Bo Jackson. He's saying, oh, you want me to go over there with that guy? He might tackle me. If I run around the end, he might be there. I don't want to go over there. Now, there is wisdom in avoiding trouble. There is wisdom in fleeing. But you know, sometimes we need to go and to do the right thing no matter what's there. We don't need to be making excuses. I'm just going to read this quickly. Time's running out. Chapter 13 and verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Who wants it more? The soul of the lazy man desires. He wants it, but he doesn't have anything. But your soul of the diligent man is going to be made rich because he's sharp, he's focused, he's active. Who wants it more? Which team wants it more? But you know what? It's going to take even more than desire. Chapter 21 and verse 25. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. Here's this guy, he's laying here. He wants to recover the fumble. But you know what? It takes more than desire. He's there laying in the snow. But he's got to reach out, move his body, get through that snow, get hold of that ball, and take possession for his team. It takes more than desire. It takes action. Action for us by faith. And now we're at the post game. Look at chapter 18. You should be pretty close to that right now in verse 9. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. Laziness destroys. Laziness ruins. Laziness is the losing team, ultimately. Yes, it wins right now, if you want to call it that, because it feels good to lay in that bed. And it feels good not to do what's going to be difficult to do. But ultimately, it's losing. It's losing reward. It's losing a testimony. It's losing the blessing of a deeper fellowship with the Lord Jesus and with one another. You might get a kick out of this picture. But if you know anything about football, you probably will. But Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man
will be put to forced labor. Here's Tom Brady. He's playing tonight. He's already got several Super Bowl rings. And this is the Lombardi Trophy that goes to the team that wins the Super Bowl. He held up he was holding his little boy and holding that trophy, and people took different NFL quarterbacks and put their faces on to that to make it look like Tom Brady's holding them, and they wish they could get the Super Bowl. Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson's face here. There's winners and there's losers. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy will be put to forced labor. You know, it's interesting, and if I'm lazy, I'm actually allowing Satan and the world of my flesh to rule me. If I'm not diligent, to allow the Spirit of God to control my life, I'm allowing them to control me. Laziness versus diligence. One final passage. We're going to close here. Proverbs 26, verses 13 to 16. And this kind of is a summary. It's got several of the things that we've already looked at. And we're just going to see it here as a summary as we ask the question, which team is winning in your spiritual life? I'm not saying that you're so lazy you won't take your hand out of the bowl to feed yourself. But you know, any laziness interferes. We want to be diligent. Here we'll read these verses together. The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets. As the door turns on his hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. You know, that really strikes me, that last verse. That, you know, we can be lazy and think we're not. We can have so-called wisdom in our own eyes, and in reality, it's foolishness. In reality, it's laziness. Oh, that we might be open to the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God and penetrating our hearts and using one another to encourage and to challenge, to exhort, to admonish one another as we seek to make sure that we're on the diligent side of the ball. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you for these ones who have come out tonight, sacrificing many of them. And I thank you for that. And I pray your blessing on us as we go forth, that we might be diligent in knowing you, in yielding to you, in serving you, in walking with you, in sharing your gospel, in serving your people. Father, in growing in your Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. May the Lord bless you, and I hope your team wins if it's the Falcons.